Good morning. It's my happy privilege to welcome you to our worship service today here at Christ Central Church. We are glad that you're here, and especially if you are visiting with us for the first time, or perhaps you visited a while back and you've come back to join us again this Sunday. Right in front of you in the pew pocket will be a welcome card, a visitor card like this. And if you would fill that out with the information that it calls for, we call it our connection card, and we'd like to have a record of your visit with us today, as well as anything that you'd like to sign up for in terms of emails and that sort of thing or other activities, and any prayer requests you might have. Everyone fill out one, but especially those of you that are visiting, and place it in the offering plate at the time of the offertory. And once again, we are glad and delighted that you have chosen to visit with us today. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and before we begin this special time of the year and this special service, I'd like to mention a couple of things in the back of the bulletin by way of announcements. One, Christ Satisfies Ministries is collecting for their annual Christmas baskets. You can read all the information there. They're going to continue doing that, or we're going to continue doing that till Sunday or December the 11th. That'll be the last day. So if you would like to find out more, you can communicate with Loretta Salgado, and all the information is there with her email address in terms of items to donate. Also, we're going to have a time of prayer and cookies and carols, and that will be on Sunday, December the 11th. At 5:30, we'll gather for prayer, and at 6:30, we will join together here in the sanctuary for a time of carols, singing your favorite carols together, and then we'll have a cookie fellowship afterwards. So once again, all the information is there for you. We're also going to have a women's Christmas fellowship on Saturday, December 17th at 9:30 a.m., in the fellowship hall. This will be a coffee and tea time for the ladies to fellowship together and get to know each other better. And there is a sign-up sheet in the lobby. And finally, we have our annual congregational meeting coming up, and that will be on Sunday, December the 18th, immediately after the morning worship service. And you have the agenda there for the meeting. We usually have a brief meeting right after the worship service, and then we're done, and everyone is on their way. So please make plans to be present for that special time. Now let's turn off our electronic devices, anything that would cause any noise or a hindrance to you or your neighbor as we seek to worship together. And I'm going to ask church member Judy Dostal to come and lead us in the lighting of the candle.
The first candle is the prophecy candle. It reminds us that Christ's coming was revealed by God through the prophets hundreds of years before Christ was born. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 235, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Let's stand together as we sing. All glory, Laud, and honor to thank you. lift up our voices in song and in praise to you, great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for planning our salvation and sending your Son, Jesus, to secure it, and then your Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives. Oh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be blessed, be honored, be praised. All glory, laud, and honor to thee, the one and only true God. We pray that our worship today would be a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto thee. Therefore, we humbly invoke your blessing upon all that we do and say during this hour. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived in the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord. We come now to a time of confession of our sins. We will begin by confessing privately and quietly, and then we will all recite the prayer of confession together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would hear the prayers of our hearts as we confess our sins to you. Lord, hear us now as we all pray together. Mighty God, you came in weakness. Forgive our grasping for power. Prince of Peace, you came in humility. Forgive us for exalting ourselves. Everlasting Father, you came in poverty. Forgive us for wanting more than others. Wonderful Counselor, you came in gentleness. Forgive us for the anger we speak and the pain we cause. Child of Bethlehem, be born in us today. Forgive us, heal us, make us new. We join the angels in singing your praises this Christmas and all the days to come. Amen. Assurance of pardon this morning comes from Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Our second scripture lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. "Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, give attention to the sound of our cries, we pray, this morning. My King and my God, for I pray to you. We know that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. So, Lord, hear our prayer this morning, for we are upright, solely because you have washed us clean with the blood of your Son and clothed us in his righteousness. And so first, we thank you, Lord, that as you have safely brought us through the night, we pray that you would continue to defend us in the same way with your mighty power this day, and help us to not fall into sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by your governing hand. Always do what is righteous in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we also pray for this local church in particular and ask that as a church body in the midst of our struggles or sufferings and weaknesses, that you would grant us to live in great harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we may with one voice glorify you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make this unity not in word only, but root us and ground us in your truth, your holy word. Guard our hearts from all false doctrine and commandments of men, for we seek to worship the one true, triune God, who rules over the heavens and the earth. For before you no God was formed, nor shall there be any after you, as you declare in your word, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. We also pray, Lord, specifically for these church members, for Rhonda Gravanti and David Green and Don Hamilton and Dave and Paige Hobbs and the Hickerson family and John and Marilyn Horst. Help these brothers and sisters to have great endurance in the Christian life, I pray, that they may serve you all of their days. We lift them up to you. We also pray for our various ministries in this church, Lord, for the Spanish ministry. We pray for the Bravas and their, and we pray for Luis as he preaches right now with us in another part of the building, that you would help his preaching, give him liberty of the Spirit, and bless their service. We pray for the ESL ministries, the college and career Bible study, the youth group, and the children's ministries. We pray, Lord, that you would grow these ministries and bless them. May they benefit all who attend and all who are a part of them, and may they glorify you in every way. Now, Father, I also pray for our ministries, for Don and Leah Vanderplug, for the Davilas, for Dave and Paige Haas, for Aldo Mondin and S.I.E. Etienne in Haiti, and Jimbo Mullen with Christ Satisfies Ministries. We pray, Lord, that you would make their homes nurseries for heaven, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? And so we ask that you would protect them from the schemes of the devil, the lusts of the flesh, and use them as your vessels to bring your people to Christ, our great King. And so, Lord, we lift up all these requests, being reminded the great prayer our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson comes from Psalm 122 this morning. I was glad when they said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be in your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The word of the Lord. Let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 201, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's stand as we sing. Lord God, indeed, we praise you and thank you that Emmanuel has come in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, in light of your great gift, the greatest of all gifts to us, we pray that we would be faithful in giving back to you just a portion of all you've given through our tithes and our offerings. Father, receive these gifts now and bless us as we give. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. stand for the doxology. Good morning. Our text this morning is from Isaiah chapter 2. It was your first scripture lesson in the bulletin. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. Isaiah chapter 2, the first five verses. Before we begin, let me open us with a word of prayer. O Lord, we tremble at your word, and we ask you that even this day, that as your word goes forth from this pulpit, during the preaching, we pray that our hearts would tremble all again, that they would believe your truth and rejoice at the marvelous things found in your word. So we pray for your blessing, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you haven't noticed, it is Christmas time again, which is a good thing, and is the first Sunday of Advent, and the time we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the birth of our great Messiah, Jesus our Lord. However, I think we often we narrow the scope of the celebration of Jesus' birth. So this first Sunday in Advent, I want to remind us why this baby in a manger is such good and glorious news. You know, a birth is a pretty special thing, yet is a very nerve-wracking time. I'm not comparing what my wife went through to my experience of standing there and waiting. Surely I would never do that. But when you have a child, especially your first, it's a time filled with joy, but also great anxiety. I remember thinking, how is this kid going to turn out? Am I going to screw him up? Is he going to hate me? What if I fail? You think all these different anxious thoughts. And so much of this anxiety comes from the simple fact that you don't know how the story is going to play out. You don't know how this little baby's story is going to end. And yet with Christmas, it's a bit different, isn't it? We know how this baby's story plays out. You see, through the birth of the Messiah, all the nations will be blessed. The Lord has told us the end of the story. And this blessing is not a simple blessing that we often think about. We're not talking about your grandmother's holiday cookies, although those are a blessing. We're not talking about seeing your cousins at Christmas time, although that may be a blessing, or the nice watch your family got you for Christmas, although that may be a blessing. We're talking here about ultimate blessing. Through the birth of the Messiah, the curse is reversed. He has come to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And so our outline this morning is simple. It goes like this. We will see the power of his birth, the blessing of his birth, the result of his birth, and the call of his birth. That is the power, the blessing, the result, and the call of Jesus' birth. And so let's begin looking at the first couple of verses here and notice the power of Jesus' birth. In verse 2, we read that this prophecy will be fulfilled in the latter days, or last days, essentially the end times. This language is used in some of the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, or the New Covenant prophecies of the Old Testament. We first hear this phrase in Genesis 49, when Jacob prophesies that in the latter days a king will come from Judah and his kingdom will never, ever end. Now, the New Testament declares that, in fact, the latter days have come since the Messiah has come.
And directly linked to the prophecies of the latter days is the prophecy or the promise of this Messiah to come. And so although our text doesn't use the term Messiah, it does state that this mountain is the mountain of the house of the Lord. Who is the Lord? Jesus is the Lord. This is Jesus' house on the chief of mountains. So the text doesn't need to use the term Messiah to be messianic in nature. We have been in the last days since the time of the incarnation, since the time the Son has entered into his own creation. The newborn Messiah in the manger signified that the latter days have come. They are here. The times of fulfillment have dawned. It's the fullness of time, as Paul calls it in Galatians 4. The promises given to Abraham are being fulfilled. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And this is what Isaiah is referring to when he says that in the latter days, the mountain of God will be established as the chief mountain, or the highest mountain, or the head of mountains. The picture here is that of Solomon's temple built on Mount Zion. The picture is of that temple being lifted up, which, as we learn in the New Testament scriptures, is fulfilled in Christ, the true temple, and his bride, the church, the congregation of the Lord that's being built into a holy temple by the Holy Spirit. And in the latter days, it says, all the nations shall flow to this mountain. All the nations shall flow to Christ and the church, his bride. And this begun the day he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So what great power in his birth, that through it all the nations will be blessed. Through the birth of Christ, all the nations will flow to the house of the Lord. Through the birth of this little Jewish baby named Jesus, my five-year-old little Gentile self, in a foreign land that wasn't even discovered yet, was glad when my mother said to me, "Come, let us go to the house of the Lord every Sunday." And it probably was the same for many of you. That's the power of the gospel to all the nations. The Gentiles all around the world are saying, "Come, let us go to the house